I want you to get your Bible out tonight and turn to the book of Jonah, if you will. The book of Jonah. We're looking for Jonah chapter number 1. And as always, let's minimize the interruptions. If you must step out, let's make it an emergency. And then no fanfare when you do so. Young people don't play, but listen. And Jonah chapter 1, find verse number 1. I would ask that you stand with me out of reverence to the Word of God. And we're going to read. I'm going to read out loud. You can follow along silently. We're going to start at Jonah chapter 1, verse number 1. Look back at me for just a moment. This morning, I told you, I was going to preach a sermon tonight entitled, I Wish You Could Backslide. I have a second title to it. It's called, You Can't Leave Someplace That You've Never Been. You can't leave someplace that you've never been. Now, Jonah chapter 1, starting with verse number 1, it says, Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, went down unto it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Now I want you to look at verse number 12. Go down to verse 12, and it says, And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord, and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from a raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And let's pray. Father, we've been a busy church this week. Soul winning programs, conferences, Sunday school. Oh my. Lord, tonight, we conclude our youth conference, but everyone's tired. I know that. Help me to get their attention quickly. But Father, we do not want to waste these moments when we have opened your book and we're looking into the words that you wrote. So, Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit would dominate what's said in this place tonight. We need you again, all over again. We need the freshness of thy presence in this place, this night. Thank you for being here. Now move in our hearts, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. This is the story of Jonah at a time when he goes through the process of backsliding. God had came to Jonah. He had a special task for him. And God wanted him to go to Nineveh and to preach to a group of people. Jonah was already a preacher. I think Jonah loved the Lord. But the Bible says that, and the Bible tells us he had been in the presence of the Lord, but Jonah started to move away from God. And Jonah went to a place called Tarshish instead of Nineveh. He began to flee the presence of the Lord. He ran from doing what was right and ran from doing what God wanted him to do. The Bible says he went down to Joppa. Then he went down into the bottom of a ship. And before long, a storm hits. He gets thrown overboard because they realize there's a storm because there's a backslidden preacher on the boat. And then the Bible tells us a whale comes and swallows him and then goes down even further. We know the story, and if you don't, eventually that whale barfs old Jonah up on the land. He goes, he preaches a great revival. But Jonah went through a process. He went down and down and down and down in life. We call that backsliding. Brother Tom, would you get me that ladder? Brother Dave, I'm going to use this mic now. This ladder is going to help me, and just a little more volume, and just check the treble on this thing, if you will, for me there, Dave. I'm going to explain something to you. this ladder is going to help me explain to you backsliding. If Christianity is like climbing a ladder, backsliding would be this. You climbed in your Christianity up two or three steps, but if you backslide, you're moving back down. You know, it would be very difficult for me if I go up one, two, three steps. I can't backslide from step four because I've never been up on step four. I could backslide from step three because my right foot right now is on step three. So I could go from step three down to step two. But you know, I couldn't backslide from step four because I never made it up to step four. Backsliding is decreasing your obedience or your commitment to God. You can backslide in more than one area of life. You can backslide in one area. You can backslide in many areas. You think if your life is in this total disarray and it's a total mess, you now are backslidden. There are some people you could be right with God about coming to church tonight, but be terribly backslidden about your Bible reading. There are many areas that can be infected or affected by backsliding. Too many times we think backsliding is plunging our entire life into a vile, nasty, wicked state. Now, that's where you'll end up eventually. But remember, if I go up in my Christian life and I step up three steps, I can backslide down to step two. I could even be worse. I could step down to step one. I could backslide all the way down here onto the level ground. But remember, I can't backslide from step four to step three if I've never been to step four. You can't backslide from someplace where you've never been. My sermon, the title I gave it, I wish you could backslide. I wish you could backslide from some areas in your life. I wish you would start doing some things for God so that the devil would have a cause to try to stop you from doing those things. Some of you say, the devil never fights me. Is there nothing about which he should fight you? You know, some churches, I really do believe this. I think there are places, they call them churches. I don't want to hurt that word, but there are places out there that hang a sign out front that says church on it. The devil never messes with them. You say, why? Why should he? They're not doing anything. Y'all, I think our church knows. Y'all have any idea what we've been through in the last 90 days at our church? We don't gossip and talk about all the hardships. We've had the boogers beat out of us. Why? Because God sees something happening, and then the devil looks at that and he says, you know what, I'll take a shot at them. He wants to stop people from doing right. Now, I did not say, I wish you would backslide. I said, I wish you could backslide. I wish you would step up to greatness so that you could backslide to mediocrity. I wish you would step up from doing something big so you could backslide down to doing something average. I wish some of you just step up to average so you could backslide down to being lame. I wish you would step up to being totally sold out to God so you could backslide to being partially sold out to God. Again, I call the sermon, you can't leave someplace where you've never been. And I wish there were some places some of you would go up for the Lord so there was a potential of you becoming backslidden. And teenagers, in a special way, this is the last night of our youth conference. In a special way, teenagers, you listen to me. I don't have to worry about the adults. Their minds are already attached to this thing. They're already in the groove, I'll guarantee you. But teenagers, you listen to me. There's some areas in your life as a teenager you need to step up. You need to step up and you need to make sure that you're climbing the ladder of success. And not for yourself, but for the Lord. Step up and step up. And let me tell you something, teenagers. Don't let, and excuse me, adults, but I have to say this. Don't you let a bunch of lame adults cause you not to do something for God. Hey, when I was a 16-year-old boy, they weren't doing a whole lot around my church, I got to tell you. There wasn't one Sunday school teacher that was on fire for God. There was not one bus captain that was on fire for God. And my preacher got up one day and he said, you know what? We need some young person around here to get a little fire in themselves and step up. And I decided I want to step up. Young people, you don't have to wait for adults. You can serve Jesus. You can do something for God. And so to every young person here, you can't backslide if you haven't moved up the ladder. Now the sermon gets real simple. I wish you could backslide from having a daily consistent Bible reading time. The Bible says in Acts 17:11, these were more noble than those of Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily. I wish everybody under the sound of my voice could backslide from having a daily, consistent walk with God. There's some of you, you can't backslide from that because you've never had a daily, consistent walk with God in the Word. It's too bad. Too bad you can't backslide from it. And you see the psychology of the sermon. Step up! Step up. But I wish you could backslide from having that daily, consistent Bible reading time. I wish you'd read your Bible every day. But remember, you can't leave someplace if you've never been there. Not only that, I wish you could backslide from having a daily, consistent prayer time. A prayer time. Daily. Every day. Consistently. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. You know what that means? Just keep praying. Just keep praying. You say, well, Pastor, I don't think there's any way that I could pray all day long. Well, I think we ought to try to pray as often as we can throughout the entire day. But, hey, let's take that verse. You know, maybe at its least meaning, it means we ought to have a time where we pray every day. At least have a time that we pray every day. But there's some of us, you can't backslide from a consistent prayer life because you've never had a consistent prayer life. And you can't come back from someplace where you've never been. Would to God I had all sorts of people that could backslide in a big way. But you can't backslide in a big way if you've never served God in a big way. I wish you could backslide from being a soul winner. I wish you could backslide from being a soul winner. Mark 16, verse number 15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But you can't backslide from some place you've never been. Y'all, stop for a moment and think about this personally. There are people in this room. You cannot be a backslidden soul winner because you have never been a soul winner. That saddens me for you. Boy, if I can climb this ladder, I'm on rung number 3. But I'm not up here on number 6. I can't backslide from level 6. I can't backslide from level 5. I can't backslide from level 4. If I've only been to 3, I can only step away from 3. Let me tell you something, folks. You want to know one of the big high levels of the Christian life? It's keeping people out of hell. And it's time for some of you to be able to backslide about soul winning. But you can't leave someplace where you've never been. You say, well, Pastor, you're all the time harping about this thing. Yeah. And I'm going to keep harping about it.
Because the Bible says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my Father's house might be full. Keeping people out of hell is the reason why Jesus Christ came, was born of a virgin, lived 33 and a half sinless years, was placed in a grave, resurrected. He came to save sinners. I wish you could backslide from being a soul winner. But you can't leave someplace where you've never been. Not only that, I wish you could backslide from having an excellent church attendance. I wish you could backslide from having an excellent church attendance. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That word assembling there comes from a word, ekklesia, which means churching. Not forsaking the churching of ourselves together. It says, as the manner of some is. What's that mean? There are some people that have formed the manner of missing church. They develop an absenteeism that becomes their norm. You know something? You know, Brother Hollinger, I didn't get into church till I was 16, but there's one thing I can remember. When I went to Sunday school, they had a chart on the wall, and they wrote my name on a chart. And there were 52 weeks of little square boxes where I could get a star if I would show up for Sunday school. Can I tell you something? I wanted all 52 stars. What happened, whether you go to the public school or the Christian school, what's happened to people wanting to have perfect attendances? Brother Jim, wouldn't it be great if the people that worked for you wanted to have a perfect attendance? Everybody's looking for a way to get out of what they're supposed to do. What has happened to the United States of America? We're looking for a way out when we ought to look for a way in. We're looking for the cowardly, easy way for everything. I wish some of you could backslide from having a great attendance. But you can't, because you never have had a faithfulness to God's house. I wish that you could backslide. I got to tell you, I really love the title of this sermon. People go to our website, they'll listen to this one right away. They'll say, I knew he was going to crash and burn emotionally one day. We got him now. What an idiot. Hey, I wish you could backslide from loving your enemies. I wish you could backslide from the concept, the truth that's taught in the Scripture about loving your enemies. Matthew 5:44 says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You didn't know that the mother-in-law concept was in the Bible, did you? Hey, but I wish you could backslide from loving your enemies. But folks, you can't backslide from someplace where you've never been. You practice hatred and revenge. And your way is to hurt those that would hurt you. And hate those that would hate you. And use those that would hurt you. And use those that would use you. And talk bad about those that would talk bad about you. You can't come back from someplace where you've never been. I'll tell you, maybe the greatest challenge of my Christian life has been to love my enemies. You say, why, preacher? Because I've had so many of them. Man, I just attract them like Chris Edwards draws flies. I mean, they are... Love your enemy, Brother Edwards. But I'll tell you, I've spent a lot of spiritual energy in my lifetime. There's nobody in this room that's ever heard me attack one of my enemies. Nobody. And that because of the grace of God. But I learned a long time ago, God loved people that didn't love Him back, and I want to be like God. I'm not out to hurt my enemy. I would give my enemy the shirt off my back today, and I mean that. But I have to tell you something. I wish some of you could backslide from that very concept, because you pretty well live in a vengeful, hateful, mean state. And you can't come back from someplace where you've never been. You see, I wish you could backslide from a daily consistent Bible time. I wish you could backslide from a consistent prayer time. I wish you could backslide from being a soul winner. I wish you could backslide from a very faithful, excellent church attendance. I wish you could backslide from loving your enemies. I wish you could backslide from being loyal to your church. I wish you could backslide from being loyal to your church. You know, folks, you can't backslide from someplace where you've never been. I'm just going to tell you, this is my church, and I have no reservations about this is my church. I'm glad I'm here. You don't have to wonder. I love the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. This is my church. I want to die here. Not this week. I have enemies that would accommodate. Folks, here's what I recommend to everybody in this room. You need to find a church that you can love and plant yourself in it and love it and let it be known that's your church. But you can't backslide from some place you've ever been. There are people in this room, you can't backslide from your loyalty to your church because you don't have a loyalty to your church. I wish you could backslide from controlling your tongue and being a positive talker. I wish you could backslide from it. The Bible says in Psalm 19:14, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." I wish you could backslide from the control of your tongue and from having a positive way about the way you talk. Now, I'm talking about your emails and your blogging and your texting and all of that sort of a thing. Look, you cannot backslide from someplace where you've never been. You are critical in nature. You talk critically. You're negative in the way you talk. And it'd be pretty hard for you to backslide. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if you had such a positive attitude that when you said the slightest negative thing, everybody would say, "What's wrong with them?" The problem is it's just the reverse. When you say something positive and uplifting, somebody says, "Whoa, that's new." But you can't backslide from someplace where you've never been. And I wish all of us, I wish you could backslide from having a positive speech about you and controlling your tongue. But not only that, I wish you could backslide from pure, godly Christian music. I wish you could backslide from pure, godly Christian music. You say, "Well, that's all we have around the church." I'm not talking about the church. Talking about in your car. And they still have iPods, JV. I knew that. I didn't need you. On your iPod is the word. He used the word device the other day. That kind of includes it all. Get right with God about your device. I might not know all the words, but I do know what the devil does. And there are people in here say, "Well, I go to a church that's got good old-time gospel music. You ought to have it in your home and on your phone and on your iPad and in your car. And parents, you ought to know what your kids are listening to." I wish you could backslide from having nothing but pure Christian music in your life. But you can't. You can't backslide from it because you've never given the trash up. I wish you could backslide. I wish you could backslide from a pure thought life. A pure thought life. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." But folks, you can't backslide from someplace you've never been. Some of you haven't made it to step one in regard to the purity of your thought life. You've not cleaned up your life. And folks, it's not just a matter, and I preach this on Friday night of youth conference, it's not just a matter of how you look on the outside. There's a holiness and a righteousness that ought to be going on the inside.
I wish you could backslide from having a pure thought life. I wish you could backslide from having good biblical character. Good biblical character. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. He shall direct thy path. It's telling you, in other words, do what the Bible says and live a Bible lifestyle. I wish you could backslide from having good character. You say, what are you talking about? I wish you were on time to everything all the time. But you can't backslide from that. You've never had the desire to be prompt. I never in a million years thought, Brother Jason, that I would be saying, in my generation, back when I was a kid, I think I'm there, and it's starting to bother me a little bit. But when I was growing up, I was taught you're supposed to be on time. And you can go ahead and write your big old long list of excuses. So all the reasons why. Say, what should I do with it? Don't ask me that question. You can stick it in your ear. I learned that from the Babies of Youth Conference. I wish you could backslide from being prompt, but you can't. Because you've never truly been a consistently prompt person. I wish you could backslide in regard to your Christian character. I wish you could backslide from being dependable. But you've never really decided to be dependable. That's where somebody could just depend on, if you said it, it's going to come to pass. I wish you could backslide from being predictable. But you're not predictable. You're up one day, down the next, off and on, hot and cold, in and out. I wish you could backslide from being a person of your word. But you can't backslide from that. Because you give your word and then don't keep it. And you can't backslide from someplace where you've never been. If you never stepped up to it, you can't fall away from it. If you've never made it to rung number one, then you can't backslide from rung number two. I'm almost done. But I wish you could backslide from tithing. But you can't. Tithing, that's giving one-tenth of your income according to the command of God. Matthew 23:23 says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. He's talking about tithing. But you know, I wish my church was full 100% of potential tithing backsliders. Give me a week of it. But you can't backslide from someplace you've never been. And again, you can give all the excuses in the world why you don't. You better remember something. God gave you everything. He asked for 10% of it back and on the gross. But you can't. You can't backslide from someplace where you've never been. I said, I wish you could backslide. I said, you can't leave someplace if you've never been there. I wish you could backslide from a consistent Bible reading time. I wish you could backslide from a consistent prayer time. I wish you could backslide from being a soul winner or having an excellent church attendance or having a positive tongue. I wish you could backslide from pure godly music. I wish you could backslide from a pure thought life and good character from tithing. Now, I did not say I wish you would. Don't misquote me. I said, I wish you could. I did not say I wish you would. I don't want anybody to backslide. I want everyone to climb the ladder of Christian success and move up. Just keep moving up. Two simple points and we're done. I wish you could backslide from being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I wish you could backslide from it. Every Christian alive, when you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God moved into your life and he was sealed there until the day of redemption. You got all of him. He did not get all of you. The fullness of the Spirit is not based on what he does. It's based on what you let him do within you. It's called walking in the Spirit. There's some of you, you could never backslide from Holy Spirit fullness. You say, why? You've never submitted yourself to be filled with the Spirit of God. I wish you were a Holy Ghost potential backslider. I've got some good news for you, and I'm finished. Did you know you can't backslide yourself out of salvation? Once you're saved, you're always saved. You can't backslide down the ladder of salvation because you didn't climb any ladders. See, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. He saved you. He did all the work on that one. You say, why did he do that? He knew what we would do. He knew we'd blow it, and he loved us too much. So you can't backslide down a ladder of salvation because you didn't climb a ladder for salvation. Jesus did the climbing for you. He did the work. We receive a free gift. But you know, everything else in the Christian life, there's a growth. Now, to some of you, I touched on an area in life where you ought to step up and grow so you could qualify to be a backslider. Do you realize that some of you are so low on the ladder, you don't even qualify to be a backslider? But wait a minute. There are people sitting in every section of this church tonight. You are a backslider. Because you used to do these things. So you can backslide from some place you have been. But you can't backslide from some place that you haven't been. You say, well, that's obvious. I know. But I just want to point it out to you. It'll help your Christian life to become what it ought to become. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're not saved tonight, if you'll come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you need this altar, I want you to come. I wonder who here tonight would say, Pastor, God has spoken to my heart about this issue of backsliding.